Now for our message this morning, I want to sing the 46th Psalm, if you don't mind. I might actually sing it, but I'd like to preach from the first three verses of Psalm 46. And before we go on the air, I'll tell you a story in the back of this that brought this particular verse of Scripture to my heart and mind in such force that I could not get away from it. I walked out of the house through the yard the other day, going over to the office. And I met my sister halfway, and I put my arms around her, and I told her, I says, I think it's all over with me. I just believe this is the end of it. Might as well just leave it alone. Weak in body, weak in soul, weak in mind. And she looked at me and she said, did your Heavenly Father tell you that, or is that your own idea? I patted her on the face and then I kissed her and I began to cry. And I said, you know, everything I've ever received has come to me by the grace of God. Nothing that I have ever had except it's come to me by the grace of God. The effectual call of God came to me by His grace. The hatred for sin that He gave somewhat came by grace. The love of holiness and the love of righteousness and the desire to see Christ and be like Christ and made in His image and likeness all came to me by the grace of God. Every good gift and every perfect gift came down from above, from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness nor shadow of turning. And I have nothing this morning except what I have received by the distinguishing grace of God. I told her all of that, and I began to cry, and I weep, and I said, thank you for the words. Did your Heavenly Father tell you that? No, He didn't. And then came this, before I got to the door, Psalm 46 came to my mind. And I'd like to preach from it this morning, if you will listen. And I would like for you to pray that God will give you somewhat of what He's given us. He might encourage your heart. Because as it was always said of Martin Luther, that when everything was going against him and looked like the hounds of hell were ready to nip at his heels and to take him down, he would turn to his friend and he would say, let us sing the 46th Psalm. So let us sing it this morning. Those first three verses. Will you? Pray for us. We want you to turn with us in your Bibles this morning to Psalm 46. And I'd like to read the entire Psalm of 11 verses. And then, the Lord willing, preach from the first three verses. Psalm 46, beginning with verse 1. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried in the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. Selah. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. The heathen raged, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered His voice, the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. Come, behold the works of the Lord, what desolations He hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the ends of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. Let us pray. Our Father, as we approach Thy throne of grace this morning, our heart and our mind turns to Thee and ask the question, what would the poor believing people of God do without Thy holy word? What would the believing people of God do without a mercy seat? What would the believing people of God do without the gospel and without a Savior? And without the knowledge of the true and the living God? And what would the people of God do if they had no God to run to and to turn to and to look to? If faith was not in operation? If the gift of confession and repentance had not been granted unto us? If we were still dead in trespasses and our sins, oh, our Father, what would we do? But we do run to Thee this morning. Oh, Father, as a little child hunts for the mother's breast, as a hungry man hunts for something to eat, and as the thirsty man hunts for something to drink, we hunt for Thee and cry out after Thee this morning, because Thou art our living God. There is no help but what comes from Thee. There is no hope but what is found in Thee. There is no refuge and no strength and no help in time of trouble but that which Thou dost give. All around us is sinking sand. And O our living God, we trust Thee this morning and call upon Thy name. Thou knowest our sins. Thou knowest the weakness of our faith. Thou knowest sometimes we cannot even muster it up. We cannot find it. It must come from Thee by grace. There are times when we are cast down. There are times when our soul cries within us that God has clean gone off and left us forever. There are times when there seems to be no help and no hope. We thank You for that word that we have this morning that tells us that Thou art the true and living God and that Thou art a very present help in time of trouble. So would You be pleased by Thy grace, by Thy Spirit, to open that word to our hearts this morning and give us encouragement and give us hope and cause our eyes, the eyes of faith, to be turned toward Thee. Cause us to rejoice in the cross. Cause us to rejoice in the empty tomb. Cause us to rejoice in our blessed Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who made all things possible for us. We would become an heir of God and a joint heir with Him of all things. So help us, lead us and guide us. Give us courage and boldness to preach Thy word and fill us, we pray, with Thy Spirit, for it is in Christ's name that we ask. Amen. This psalm has to be one of the greatest psalms in all the book. It was to be sung by the sons of Korah, who are true Israelites indeed. In fact, only the children of God can sing this song. Only true Israelites, the chosen of God, can sing this song and sing this psalm, because only the true children of God can understand with all of their hearts why the psalmist cried as he did and why he poured out his heart unto the Lord. The psalm has a preface to it. It says, to the chief musician for the sons of Korah. To understand why that was put there was to understand that the sons of Korah were delivered. In Numbers 14, when Korah and Dathan and Abram had presumed upon God that they were going to have part in the priesthood. They were going to take it over and to have part with Aaron and part with Moses and the leadership of the people. And these three and 250 of the mightiest princes of Israel, God's judgment came upon them. And the earth opened up and swallowed them, and they went down into hell alive. But if you read on further in Numbers chapter 26, it is said, notwithstanding, the children of Korah did not perish and did not die. And God saved them and delivered them. And all you can account this too is the sovereign grace of God who spared them when he destroyed their kinsmen. And beloved, we can sing this song this morning when we think upon that great grace of God that has delivered us from going down to the pit. We can sing this psalm and sing this song and knowing that it was only God who delivered us when hell was opened up wide to receive us. And we even confessed with our own hearts and our own minds and our own souls before God that if we got our trust just deserts, it was for God to open up the earth and send us to hell. I wonder if God has ever opened your heart to let you see that you are an ill-deserving, undeserving, hell-deserving sinner. I wonder if God in His mercy and His grace has ever let you see that you deserved hell as others deserved it. Amen. You have loved ones and friends that are in hell today, and you're out of hell only because of the distinguishing mercy of God. And beloved, if I would quote two words this morning that characterizes the believing people of God, it is the word mercy, M-E-R-C-Y, and the word grace, G-R-A-C-E. And these two words characterizes what God does for His people. Mercy and grace are written over everything that has to do with the believing people of God. Now, y'all hold your attention up here, will you? I know we got distraction outside, but y'all hold your attention here. They're there, and they'll stay there until God lets them go home. But God has a message for your heart and for mine, so let's listen and let God deal with them, okay? You listen to what God has to say. What did I say? Did you hear what I said? I said that written across the doorpost of every child of God is two words, mercy. You know how to spell it? You spell it M-E-R-C-Y. It means the compassion of God towards sinners. And the other word is grace, and it's spelled G-R-A-C-E, and grace is nothing more than nothing less than the manifested love of God towards sinners in mercy and compassion by delivering them from going down to the pit.
Amen.
I believe these two words were written across the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. On one hand was the word mercy. On the other hand was the word grace. Mercy is God's compassion that is so great that He will not let us go. His compassion is so great that He will not let us go, but says unto us, come on. And His grace is love in action so much that He came to die in our place. Now, if this is our hope and this is our trust, and beloved, there's none other.
Amen.
If God does not have mercy upon us, we're gone. If God in His grace does not come to our souls, we're gone. If mercy is not written across the doorpost of our heart, and God's compassion has come to us with such force that He would not let us go and would not take no for an answer. When we desired with all of our hearts to damn ourselves to hell and to get there as fast as we possibly could, and God's compassion held us and would not let us go, and God's love came and died for us, for God commended His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. If these two words are not written upon our hearts, then we are of all men most miserable. But if these two words are written upon our hearts, then we of all men are the most gracious, because we have been identified with the living God, chosen by His grace and by His mercy to be His and His forever because of the work of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So they chose Korah's sons, Korah's children, to sing this song because they sang it because of deliverance. So our text says God is our refuge and our strength. God is a very present help in time of trouble. Therefore, since God is our refuge, and God is our strength, and God is a very present help in trouble, therefore, will we not fear? And then he comes with some of the most far-reaching effects that could ever possibly come to the human race. Though the earth be removed. And that's talking about the end time, the time of judgment. And though the mountains be carried in the midst of the sea through earthquakes. And though the waters thereof roar and the hurricanes come and the winds blow and the winds get higher and the waves get higher. Even though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, in all of this, the word Selah shall come into place. Let's pause and be quiet. Be still and know that I'm God. Therefore, will not we fear. Now, beloved, what does this rest upon? Such a verse of Scripture is this that God has put in His Word for us. God is our refuge. God is our strength. God is a very present help in trouble, as He's revealed to us in the Lord Jesus Christ. What is this? If we can say this morning, and we should be able to say it by the grace of God, then this is the confidence of the people of God. No matter what comes upon them, this is the confidence that they have in the true and the living God. And beloved, this humbles us before the Lord. The world may boast of their armies. The dictators and all those who would try to conquer the world can boast of what they can do in their might and how they would gouge our eyes out and put us to death. They can boast of all that they can do, but their sufficiency is of themselves, for they cannot even breathe apart that God gives them air to breathe and puts their breath within them. They cannot eat unless God gives them the strength to eat. Much less to make the boast that they are fearless and that none can conquer them. But the children of God do not come to this confidence by their self-sufficiency. God is our refuge. God is our strength. God is our present help in trouble. The earth may be removed, and man may be able to do his worst. But the reason that we stand, the only reason that we stand, is because of the sufficiency of our God, and no other reason. Our sufficiency is not of ourselves. The world has a stoutness of heart. He is stoic in what he says and what he does. He boasts of what he can do. And calamity comes upon him and he stands out against it. But the people of God say alone that the God of Jacob is my refuge. The God of Jacob is my refuge. For God is in the midst of me. Verse 5. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her. And that right early. By nature we're weak. By nature I'm a bruised reed. I can be shaken in the wind just as quickly as all get out. I'm not strong by nature, and neither are you. And God knows this. God knows that we are shaken in the wind like bruised reeds. He knows that we are timid and cannot stand in our own strength, for when we try it, we fail. We have no strength of our own, and our strength goes to naught. We never know what the strength of God is until we know our own weakness. And beloved, this is a fact. We never know what the strength of God is until we know our own weakness. Do we know that? Do we know our own weakness? If you could hear us behind the scenes, if you could hear us weep like a babe, if you would hear us tell God all about ourselves, He would never know. Do you think we might have strength, but we have no strength within ourselves whatsoever to do one thing? Because Paul said our sufficiency is not of ourselves. It is of God who giveth us all things day by day. Every refuge that I've ever tried outside of Christ has failed me. Every scheme that I have ever tried to put over outside of the wisdom of the Lord has failed me. Other refuges have gone under. I've been exposed. But not when God is my refuge. And not when God is my strength. We never know the power of God to hold us until we know our utter weakness, that we can do nothing. And we hear those words of our Lord in John 15, without me, ye can do nothing. Without me, ye can do nothing. It'll all go to pot. It's all gone unless God is our refuge and our strength. And this confidence is gained by appropriating faith. And what a precious gift faith is. This confidence in God that He's going to hold us and keep us. That God is our refuge and our strength. That God is a very present help in time of trouble. It is appropriated, this confidence, by that word, faith. And beloved, faith comes from God. Faith is a gift of God. Faith is what God gives us that we might lay hold of Him. We do not grasp hold of God in our strength. We grasp hold of the living God in His strength and by His faith. We appropriate the heavenly things because God has given us that faith to appropriate them. We lay hold of them because we are heirs of God and joint heirs with the Lord Jesus Christ. We read in the Scripture that the Lord is my portion, therefore I will hope in Him. The Lord is my portion, therefore will I hope in Him. Or we are down on our all fours like Thomas, And we say, as we put our hands, as it were, in where the nail prints were, and the sword was in his side, and we cry like Thomas, "My Lord and my God, he's mine. I belong unto him. He shall not fail. He shall supply." How does this confidence come? The more knowledge we have of the living God, the more confidence that we have in him. You want to learn more about yourself? Learn more about God. You want to learn more about God and who he is and what he's done for us in the person of his Son? Learn more about him. Search his word. Find out what his word has to say. It'll be a fire unto us to burn our hearts. It'll be a sword unto us to cut us asunder. It'll be a hammer to break our hearts down at his feet. It'll be bread for us to chew upon. It'll be milk for us to quench our thirst, to give us nourishment. It'll be water for our souls, that we might not be thirsty. He that hungereth and thirsteth after righteousness shall be filled. Acquaint thyself with God and be at peace. Therefore, thereby good shall come unto thee, says the psalmist. Acquaint thyself with God. I got to thinking this morning, only in Christ has God supplied a righteousness that we might stand before him in. Only in Christ has God provided a sacrifice and a substitute that we might plead that blood before the throne of his grace. Only in the Lord Jesus Christ do we have a great high priest who is touched with the feeling of our infirmities. Only in Christ has God showed us that love and that grace. Only in Christ, as we gather at the cross and see what our sins did to him, do we come to know the extent of those sins, the hellishness of those sins. It is as we acquaint ourselves with God that we come to understand the pride of our heart. And we are really proud devils, walking around as proud men who have nothing to be proud of, because we stand and abide under the wrath of a sin-avenging God apart from the Lord Jesus. What do we have apart from what God has given to us? Go to the cross and learn of what pride, the pride of the heart, did to the Lord Jesus. Go to the cross and learn of what our sins of lust did to the Lord Jesus. Go to the cross and learn what unbelief is, because unbelief tied him to the cross. He died for that sin of unbelief for his people. Go to the cross and learn what an awful thing sin is in the sight of God. And hear our blessed Lord and those 3 hours of his sufferings, all the outward sufferings of the pains of the lash upon his back and the tear upon his brow from the crown of thorns, and the gashes in his hands and his feet as the nails were driven there. All of this he suffered. And as the lashes were put upon his back and the metal dug it deep into his back, and he was made to cry because of the sufferings of the flesh. But none of this was compared to the sufferings when the Father separated himself from him. And he cried, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" Learn what sin is in those words. That our blessed God had to separate himself from himself. And how he could do this will be a mystery throughout eternity. But God died in our place in his Son. Find out there and understand the love of God and the hatred of God for sin.
Amen.
And see there what God has supplied for us in the Lord Jesus Christ. If you want to meditate upon three words for the rest of your life, meditate upon those three words. It is finished. All that God has supplied for poor, hell-deserving sinners is in those three words. It is finished. Everything that God purposed and planned for His people was finished at the cross. There remaineth nothing else to be done. Find out what sin did. Find out about the love of God. And then that confidence would grow that God is my strength. God is my refuge. He's a very present help in time of trouble. I want you to notice that word, very. It has a great weight with it. A very present help in trouble. Put the two words together, the three words together. A very present. He is always present, for he dwells in the midst of us. He is with us. There is nothing that can separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. And beloved, though all turns loose against us, and it is, the thing I fear more than anything else is not this fella over in Iraq. I fear the downfall of society as we see it today. And we are living on the very verge and the very edge of constant persecution for the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You can do anything in the world under the First Amendment to the Constitution of our government but pray on the street. You can do anything but mention the name God and Jesus Christ, His very Son. Try it and see what you will do. You can burn the flag. You can do anything in the world you want to. And our society has gone to every extreme. And it has been the purpose of a group that has grown and grown by leaps and bounds over the last generations to set this world against the Lord God of heaven. The heathen rage and say we will have no God, that God to rule over us. And as far as that man Jesus, that Jesus of Nazareth, we hate Him. We'll have nothing to do with Him. Don't mention His name. Don't you speak it. Don't you dare speak it. We'll have nothing to do with it. And our media has bombarded us every way, shape, form, and fashion. It tries to tone it down to make it Judeo-Christianity, but there ain't no such animal as Judeo-Christianity, because Christianity did not come out of Judaism. Christianity came from Christ and not from the Talmud. And Judaism came from the Talmud, the book of the law that came out of Babylon. What I fear more than anything else is the society in which we are living, where God is not known. And man is going to put God out of his universe. But even in the midst of all of this, our God is a refuge and a strength and a very present help in trouble.
Amen.
Now, God prophesied that all of this was coming to pass. We should not get all excited about what this guy's doing over in Iraq. I hate to see our men be put over there. I hate to see men die. But let me tell you something. This nation has allowed, and our Supreme Court has allowed, and the judges have allowed, and the doctors and the nurses have allowed, over 20 to 30 million of our unborn children to be murdered in their mother's womb, and they have not cried out against them. They won't let these poor shrimpers shrimp out here in the Gulf without putting those turtle extruders on them. They want to serve the turtle. But, beloved, you try to save a baby in the womb and see what's going to happen to you. There ain't no extruder there. The society's gone, but what I'm trying to do is to tell you this morning that we're right in the middle of it. No use for us to hide our head in the sand. We're right in the middle of it. This world hates our God. This world hates our Christ. This world hates our Bible. They hate everything we stand for. They hate everything we're doing here. And the whole world is against us. You're going to find it out, and I'm going to find it out. If I think the battle I've been through with the last 5 months has been something, I've not yet seen anything if we continue on in the work of the Lord. And you people just don't know what I've gone through within the last 5 months. I'm not asking for your pity. I'm just telling you it's been a trial of faith with the operations. And then the ulcer acting up this past week, it didn't seem like I could even stand it anymore. And then trying to pray, trying to read, trying to preach, trying to lead this work, trying to go on. But beloved, that is nothing compared with what we're going to meet from the hostile society in which we're living. And we better understand that this verse of Scripture says that God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in trouble. And beloved, as a nation, we're in trouble. As a people, we're in trouble. Don't you think that the judges are on your side? There's no such thing as justice today. Our only hope is the Lord. And that's what he means by these calamities in verse 2. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed. These calamities come against us, and though the mountains be carried in the midst of the sea. What happened out in San Francisco last October, November, when was it? You've read accounts of it. How men panicked and ran out in the streets and didn't know what to do as the earth began to move. And that's what he's talking about here. God does not want us to panic. God does not want us to throw in the towel. God does not want us to have our confidence in man. He wants us to have our confidence in the living God. And he says that he is a very present help in time of trouble. If ever we needed strong faith, it is now. If ever we needed to exercise strong faith, it is now. If it was ever within our power by the grace of God to do exploits for our God, and to undertake great things for our God, it is now. And our confidence should be in Him. And if God be for us, who can be against us? And though everything comes against us, our God will never leave us. I want you to read your verse of Scripture that has been my stay time after time. He said, in Isaiah 54:17, no weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. No weapon formed against thee shall prosper. Well, supposing we get killed. Well, then we should rejoice that we go into glory. How can we lose? Our experience day by day is to flee unto Christ. Flee unto this refuge. To tie Him to us by faith is our shield and our buckler. The one who will undertake for us will never leave us nor forsake us. I do know that the burdens get heavy. I do know that God allows the things to come upon us that He does. And beloved, have you ever stopped to consider that no man can help us but the living God? I would so-and-so was here. Well, so-and-so can't help us. God help us. God is our refuge. God is our strength. A very present help in time of trouble. He is the one that preserves us. He is the one that undertakes for us. He is the one that knows that by nature we tremble and that we fear. And God has not taken these natural fears away. And though we go to death rejoicing, yet man desires to live on. There's been put in us a desire to live. And God knows these natural things that come upon us. But I ask the question, has God allowed these things to come, or was this man's idea? Do you think that this man over in Iraq thought of this and did this all by himself? Did it happen by chance? Or is this in God's plan and for God's purpose and according to God's providence? That's the way we got to look at it. Well, isn't it terrible that this happened? Yes. But did it come by chance? Or did God allow it in His providence? Can we truthfully say that God has predestined all things? And that all things work together for good to them who love the Lord, who are the called according to His purpose? Can we say that God has ordained all things, and therefore if God has ordained them, then we should not fear? Amen. He said, I will never leave thee. I will never forsake thee. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I shall not fear what man shall do or can do unto me. Why did He give us Romans chapter 8, beginning with verse 28 on to the 39th verse? Why did He ask all those series of questions? Can anything separate us from the love of God? If God be for us, who can be against us? Who can lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather is risen again. Wherein is our hope? Wherein lies our hope? And He goes on to say in Romans chapter 8, He says that all of these things have been tried. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? All of these things have been tried. As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Amen. I got a phone call last night about 7:15, and the party on the other end of the line was a thousand or more miles away from here, and they began to tell me what so-and-so had said about me. I listened. And then I hung up the telephone and I sat there. And I began to pour out my heart to the Lord and I said, Lord, I can't defend myself. I can't go chasing rabbits. I can't defend myself. That was told to them and they come to me with it. And I can't defend myself. You know my thoughts. You know my motives. You know why I'm here and what I'm doing. We can only trust God to undertake for us. and then to cast ourselves daily upon Him in all of our sins, in all of our errors, in all of our mistakes, in all of our shortcomings, in every way which we have failed, and we have done it morning, noon, and night. The only thing we can do is to come to cast ourselves upon Him at night and say, "Oh, my Father, my God, I am still nothing but an unprofitable servant, and all I've done today has been nothing but sin. Don't look like I can ever do anything right." We cannot justify ourselves. We can only trust the Lord. He's our very present help in time of trouble. All of these things, when they come against us, let us keep in mind that none of these is able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now I want to ask you a question. Do you think that this thing that's gone over in the Near East, do you think that's going to separate me from the love of God? Do you think that the Supreme Court decrees and all that they sent down and all of their foolishness is going to separate me from the love of God? Because God has blinded our men, and beloved, our congressmen and our Supreme Court, these men, with all that they're doing, with all that they have done and allowed, and their verdicts and what they have done, they act without reason. They have no understanding. You know why? Because God has blinded their minds to bring forth His purpose. Amen. Now, is that going to separate me from the love of God? What you do, will that separate me from the love of God? What I do, will that separate you from the love of God? This is where we ought to walk. With our eye upon the Lord God of glory, there's nothing that can separate us. These things are going to come. The mountains are going to vomit forth their smoke. The volcanoes will be there. The earthquakes are going to be everywhere. We understand the men who say that they know the West Coast is sitting on a powder keg that could go off at any moment and millions of people be killed in one hour. Half of California could fall off in the Pacific Ocean. They're even predicting that the fault that starts near Memphis and goes up through St. Louis, Missouri, and up that way that erupted in the first part of last century is going to erupt pretty soon again. But beloved, our hope and our help is not in all of this. Our hope and our help is in the living God who made heaven and earth. And all that we're seeing today is the earth belching forth its rebellion against sin. Because this earth and its creatures were made subject to nothing, not because it wanted to, but because of man's sins. What is this going to separate us from the love of God? And this is exactly what He's telling us here in this blessed psalm that we've been on this morning. And I hope that you've been able to get something out of it that God has brought to our hearts. God is our refuge. God is our strength. A very present help in trouble. Therefore, will not we fear. Now, God wants us to have that fear of Him. He wants us to fear sin. He wants us to fear Him. He wants us to have that reverential trust of Him. But He wants us also to walk in that quietness of that peace that passeth all understanding and keeps our hearts and minds through Jesus Christ our Lord, that nothing can happen to us except it's gone by His throne of grace and He's given authority for it to happen. Satan could not touch Job until God said, "You can touch him." Satan could not sift Peter as wheat until Christ said, "I have given Satan's permission to sift you as wheat, but remember, I am praying for you that your faith fail not." All of this is in the hands of our sovereign God. And so it should be. And so we should praise God that it is. And so we should go after. And therefore, in the light of all of this, we should not make hasty decisions and fanatical decisions by running here or running there, but waiting upon the Lord. I'm sorry to have to tell you, but I haven't walked where my sermon tells me to walk. Even laying on my bed last night and I couldn't sleep. There conjured up in my mind contingency plans in the event God failed. And I had to cry out to God against this. Before I knew it, my mind was running after these contingency plans of what I would do or how I would do if God failed or didn't provide. So you see, I needed this morning. I had to cry out against this very thing that I wanted to preach on this morning. The very thing that I don't want. The very thing that I don't want to come into my mind. I want to do just the opposite. I want to trust Him. And I want to trust Him without fear. I want that peace that passeth all understanding, that keeps our hearts and minds through Jesus Christ our Lord. And then my cry this morning is this. Beloved, if the righteous with difficulty be saved, where shall the sin of the ungodly man be? Where is the unsaved person's hope? Do you have that hope? That hope can only be found in one, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. There is no hope in this world. Riches can flee away in a moment. Health can be gone in an hour. Last March, my wife goes to bed at 11 o'clock Friday night feeling just as good as you please. And the next morning wakes up with an acute attack of pancreatitis, and she's literally out of it in a coma for a week. Just that quick. That quick. From one way thing to another. What is our hope? Only in God is our hope, beloved. Everything could be swept away by tomorrow. Then what are we going to do? We could all be begging on the streets by this time next Sunday if God in His providence so willed it to take everything away from us. Then will we fear? And then will we say, our God is a very present help in time of trouble. There was a family gathered together in a large farmhouse. And out of the west came one of the most devastating lightning storms that ever been seen. And one got all the hay barn, and everything went up in smoke and down in ashes and nothing. Lightning everywhere, and the whole household was just cluttered together. The little baby was screaming from upstairs. And the mother was so afraid to move of what was going to happen, she could not even go get the baby. There was a young man visiting that farm home whom God had saved in His grace. He had asked them to let him read the word before he left. They wouldn't. But in the midst of the storm, she wouldn't go up, nobody would go up, and the baby was screaming. Quietly and calmly, he mounted the stairs without putting on a light because the lightning was flashing all around. Went and got the child, brought it down without a fear, knowing his God was on the throne. And they marveled. And they said, "What have you got that we don't have?" And he says, I have a Father, a heavenly Father, that watches over me. I need not fear. And after the storm subsided, they were able to light a light safely. Then they said, would you read to us about this God? Beloved, that's the courage and boldness we need when all around us gives way. He then is all my hope and stay. On Christ the solid rock I stand. Very present help in time of trouble. Lord, take this home to my heart. Has been my cry since you gave me that text. Let me walk there. May he give you grace to walk there. May he give every one of us grace to walk there. Trusting him. Day by day. Brother Lee, will you lead us in closing prayer?